So for another minute or so, I know how he loves corporate worship. To him, it's a kind of fellowship with you. Lord, he loves it when you single him out. The Samaritan woman, he said, that he seeketh such to worship him in spirit and in truth. Actually, he waited out the dispensations of 4,000 years for the first man to come on the scene that had a nature like his. You know what that meant to him? The fellowship like we have with him through the new nature he's given us. Hallelujah. To God, when you lift those hands up and begin to worship him, I mean, what could you tell him in the next billion years that he didn't already know? What he loves to hear and receive from you is your fellowship. We're actually a family. We're a family. And the most costly thing heaven ever sustained is our free will to make choices. But without it, like we said before, it'd be like pushing a robot's button. I love you, I love you. Oh, shut up. You said that last week. Of course, it's programmed to say that. There wouldn't be any fellowship without it. So here we are, little human beings, but we're eternal. And we have chose him. And that's fellowship. It's an honor to be left here, to take as many people home with us as we can take. What an honor. And he rewards you greatly the more. I mean, you snatch some people up. That makes heaven so happy. God is a spirit, and he loves for people to worship him in spirit and in truth, which is to say that he waited the 4,000 years for the people to come on the scene that had a nature just like him, where he gets his true fellowship from. And you can't enter into, a private closet. I know I could speak from experience this point on. You can't enter into a closet, just you and him. I'd lift my hands up half-mast and just begin to worship him. And no yelling, no anything like that, just worshiping, just a steady flow of adoration. And boy, I'd feel the fellowship. And if there's anything the devil ever fought me on, it was that. I mean, he would come in and I'd have my arms up and it'd feel like he'd put 5 tons on each arm, trying to get them to go down. And it would last as long as he could, which wasn't very long. And then the anointing would increase even more than before he attacked. He's afraid of it. He's afraid of it because it puts you into a fellowship with the Father that's more a personal and a communion. And it contains that place we're all looking for most of the time, which is to walk in more of the fullness of his love, where all fear is destroyed, for things never fail. But you'll notice after you survive the onslaughts of the devil, everything he'll try to pull to keep you from getting to that place, to break your band with worship, private, that you stay in there, you'll find out that the presence of the love of God will begin to not only develop and come more and more to a fullness in your spirit. If you was able to look at your spirit when you were first born again, you would know that it received a capacity and a measure of the love that can only come from God resident in your spirit because you're born again. And it's part of your nature. But you fellowship with Him and that kind of worship, and that will grow. And it'll grow. And first it'll start manifesting in compassion. The tangible substance of the love of God is compassion. Jesus came to the fullest. He walked in it. He said He was moved by compassion and He healed 1/3 of them. Okay, you know the Bible. He was moved by compassion. Yes, it said He healed them all. Well, you know, and jumping up and down, yelling, screaming, Pentecostal holiness. Yeah, it's whatever. Sometimes those guys got into wars and fights, and God would use them, you know, anyway, and tremendous miracles and things. He says, though I speak with tongues of men and angels and have not this love, and though I move all mountains and have all faith and I don't have this, I still missed out on the best that He had. He could even clarify and say, you didn't have nothing really. Yeah, but you used me and I did this and I did that. Yeah, but what did you miss? What did you miss? When I lift my hands and begin to worship Him, and that part of my spirit that can contain the real or the true love of God, because I have His genetics, so do you. You have His nature. So that nature will hold that true, true love of God. Well, what will it do to you? That love of God will start acting up in compassion. If you let it do its work, you can't stay the same. You can't keep looking at people in wheelchairs and leave them there. When you know He got them out, you just can't do it. Surely He hath borne my sicknesses, carried my pains. We esteem Him smitten, stricken of God, but He's wounded for our transgressions, bruised for iniquity. The chastisement of our lack of peace was laid upon Him, and with His stripes I was healed. He died under the penalty of every damnable disease known to mankind, and any the devil could invent, He already died under the penalty of them. And when I was born again, I died with Him. So I already died of every disease. Once it can't kill me again. Do you like being 70? Yeah. I'm closer to going home and I feel real good. Which home? Oh, up on the hill. No. Hallelujah. Have you got scriptures marked out? And sure, I can quote verses and I can jump in there and teach you and everything. But what happens? Sometimes there's such a diversity of needs that He'll go into an exhortation mode and exhort to this thing and to that thing. Because what He wants to do, you know, is meet your needs. He wants to heal you. He has soul. This is a good one. This is really a good one. He expressed His pleasure in being able to interact because of the supernatural languages with the body that's being taught and employ His thoughts and His sayings, that He loves this because to Him that's an active teaching and it's a pleasure to Him. Hallelujah. Met a lot of preachers that are doing a whole lot around the whole world. And I should have listed them or something. gave you a list of their names or something like that. But I don't know. I go to something like that and I'm thankful. So I'm thankful for what they're doing and what's happening. But in every place they're doing a good work like that. But I still haven't seen what I know is going to happen here. Amen. I still haven't seen what Jesus would do. And I'm looking so forward in my lifetime, that the day that we'll get to go over, you can't blame kids that are under 10 for being sick. You can't hold their parents. And you can't hold the doctor if they can't do anything about it. So the only thing that's keeping them from being healed is God not being able to get it to them through anything present. But just mark this down in your book, what we're going to get to see one day. One day, we're going to get to see a whole hospital of around 300 emptied out. We'll get to see the effect on the city for crying out loud. If I had a deaf and dumb and crippled child, and the neighbor had one, because you know we may have moved into the same kind of community that served that kind of thing, and he comes over, and his boy is seeing and talking and running around. I'd say, what'd you do? He said, God did it. I brought him to a meeting. God did it. If that preacher would have left and went halfway around the world, I'd have put my kid in a car and I would find him. I would find him. Well, I know that's possible because Jesus did it. He did it. He healed a bunch of them. And then the apostles, boy, they came along. And they brought them from cities and everywhere else. It says, and they healed every single one of them in that move. So we know that it's happened before. Why? Does people's worth change? No, they don't. The only hope the devil had was to induce religion. In other words, water it all down. Get it where it doesn't work hardly. Don't waste your time going after all of that. Just go to church enough to stay saved. He'll water it down like that so we lose the vision and the fullness of everything He has for us and promised us. But the reason He left us on this planet, He could have been born again and went home right then. But we left us here so we could go get the rest of the people saved. But we're not going to do that unless we get God turned loose. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hello, Masclatoa. Jone Korea Porta Takani Meskircha. Hungereski Hesomo. Gila Tovratin in a kit H. Kim Bianduat. Also, Opeha to Messi. While I was over there, a prophecy came that in these last times, there was going to be the kind of entrepreneur that would really, I mean, just like revivals and hospitals being emptied and things like that. This was such a powerful anointing that the money wouldn't make. It wouldn't make these entrepreneurs. It wouldn't make slaves out of them. They would make it. In other words, the millions and billions and billions they'll dump in as this thing burns wild like a forest fire. And the money will not destroy them. They'll destroy the devil's work with it. These guys are going to be free. Free. And if we think that's an easy task, think again. Money can give you power to be just about anything that you want. You can even buy countries with it, just about. But to have a person have all of that at his disposal and be free from it, to put it in the gospel, is what's going to happen around before he comes back. And I saw this beginning to come forward and I got so happy. And he was talking about that just then in the tongues, that some people are thinking, well, when we had revival now, I tell you what, I thought we should have had it the first week we announced we're believing for it. And you can't say that we prayed less than any other church or anything, that the people being trained prayed less or anything. But I do know this. As time goes on, those unmeasurable amounts of money, mammon, unmeasurable amounts will come on the scene, because suddenly the revival fires will spread like a forest fire and go from one place to the other. And the harvest will be much, much shorter than what you'd have thought a revival would take to go around the world, because everything was in place. This burned crazy wild like forest fires and caught a flame, and the whole world was affected by what God was doing, which He was able to turn that all loose in preparation for His return, which isn't too far from now. So these guys are going to precede that. When all of a sudden it breaks out, when money's worth something, then they're going to get to run ahead with the billions and billions, and finances will be no problem. And that entrepreneurs, they're going to stand there and get the reward with the mouth they financed. Amen. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. Listen, if you believe that you're called to be an entrepreneur, I can lay hands on you. It's not because I'm one. Because I'm just a conductor of faith. I know what He wants, so I'm free to pray that way. You're going to hear more and more about these ministries. Some of the things that these people are going to be doing will make the headline news frequently. So come up here and put your toes on the green line. It isn't a matter of whether He can do it or not. It's a matter of how free you are. This is as much of a ministry as anything. The world recognizes it. And this has to happen while it does. This will be a pre-wave getting ready for His coming. And I know there'll be a great revival to follow up behind all of that. But there'll be a preparation too. We don't have a lot of time. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. If you offer your faith up in this direction, this is kind of new to me. But then again, wouldn't something new begin to take place if we're not going to stand still where we're at? Wouldn't it? Something's happening. I no more knew about this than you did when I stepped up to the pulpit. It wasn't mine anymore.
How often
is it that you see a preacher that in empty ambulances that come up, and if there's 100 in wheelchairs, at least 95 will get out? See, well, that's what we're talking about here. It's the same playing field. There isn't any many that would have multi-billions without it having them. And generally with the power, the power to do the things we were saying there. Not too many men can survive that and remain humble without being self-exalted to a destruction state many, many times. These are some of the reasons we don't see all that He has more often. But you can't pray in tongues steadily. What do you think He's doing when you're praying in tongues? He that searches the heart knows what is the mind of the Spirit, and that enables Him to make intercession for you according to the will of God. Then you know all things will work together for the good of them loving God and called according to His purpose. What do you think praying in tongues is doing? It's working the future out for you. When you get to the turn, you'll know to turn there. And why wouldn't it be the multi-billions for financing it on an earthly level? Why wouldn't that be included? Father, in Jesus' name, I believe it. Bring it forward, I believe it. Let's mark this down in our little book 2 years from now. Let's remember tonight. This morning. Shows you where I am. Is it done? Yes. Yes, something is working in it. In the name of Jesus, Father, these all are offering themselves to qualify. In Jesus' name, do this. Do this. I would suggest fasting and praying and getting to hear God's voice better and all kinds of things to you. That's Him. That's Him. In Jesus' name, release your glory in her now. Give her this. Give her this. Oh, yeah. And you know this anointing and this glory and everything that He gives, you know what it does? It not only will give you the ideas, but how to go about them, how to carry them out. In 40 years of ministry, I've never seen anything like this or heard anything like it. I prayed them to prosper or something like that, but not a calling and an unfathomable amount and all of that kind of thing. It sounds like a world revival of some kind. One time I saw a glimpse, and it was revival, but this part, it was the television part of revival. And there was as many miracles happening in the front rooms as there were in the meetings. People were getting set free, healed of everything you can think of, born again, filled with the Holy Ghost, in their front rooms from media. How many remember when He talked to us about the revival, He included media? 15 years ago or so? 20? What's the biggest requirement for it? To be free from money. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. You got it. Give Him this, Jesus' name. Give Him this. You know what He's saying? He's saying He'll work with you on this. You're not just going to lay down on your back and say, where art thou? In the name of Jesus, you'll pray and make intercession. And you'll do that over how to accomplish it. The way we would over the lost if I was a preacher, you know. Because that's what you're doing. You're saying, I want a million or 2 or 3 million people saved. because I sent the guy over there to get him born again. You know, you think you won't be there with him in that day of the reward? I love that interpretation. People make it so hard on themselves. Do you know this is just another level of fellowship with Him? You can be sitting by enough power to buy a presidency, and it can't move you. Hallelujah. That's the first service I've ever had like that, or even been in, or even know they existed on that level. I know that people prayed to be to prosper so they can bless the ministries and things. It's hard to find an authentication except under the law. And generally, a death nature. He said, I'd not known covetousness. And if the law said, thou shalt not covet, and then I knew I had that in my nature when I tried to quit. That's a spiritually dead man. I tried to quit and I couldn't. Who will help me? Who will deliver me from this? Thank God through Jesus Christ, he says. And he got a new nature that freed him, then he's free from covetousness. So back under the law, that's what they lived by. So that's why they had to have a 10% tithe and poverty. Poverty as an alternative. He had to put them under law to get it. Usually the spiritually dead man, you have to promise him everything to get him to. Shouldn't be that way with us. No, you can't really prove a tithe in the New Testament. We shouldn't have to. I'd feel ashamed to go. I'd be ashamed to have to be whipped into the 10% for the gospel's sake. I'd be ashamed. I think something's happening here. If you feel the unction to pray, I can tell you this much. Of course, the devil's going to jump on you, jump up and down on your spine for a while, kick you in the back of the head, a couple of things like that. But you get past him, you'll be glad you did it. Hallelujah. I've never had a service like this. Never. And I know that'd be pretty wild if a third of that come to pass. It'd be pretty wild, but then again, whatever had to happen before God could do anything in the fullness? What's He trying to do? Something's got to change. Can you imagine purchasing most all of the media? Can you imagine? We could put the gospel in every gopher hole on the entire planet. They don't have to stick their head up. We're coming in after them.